stay. Quite a few exciting things happen. We see new faces here, contemplating whether they should choose to make the best use of their life, or to be carried along like seaweed on the waves to whatever destination material nature has in store for you. We hope that for all our guests, for all our new faces, that you will indeed think very deeply and think very carefully what you are doing with your mind, your senses. What are the reactions to your actions? Can we just go on acting blindly, thinking we're justified because, well, we're just trying to please ourselves and have a little fun? We hope that our new friends, the new faces, will seize this extraordinary opportunity of Krishna consciousness to develop the highest knowledge, and in this way be able to shape for yourself the best lifestyle. Free from passion and ignorance. Ultimately, you can become free from even goodness. You'll go beyond Sattva-gun, the ode of goodness, to the transcendental platform of love of Krishna. We're going to talk tonight about the last two prayers of the Dhammadrasta. But before doing that, I thought maybe you all have some questions. We haven't had much time for questions in the preceding days, right? We also have new faces here coming along in their appreciation of Bhakti Yoga. But maybe you have some questions. Anyone? Or is everything very self-apparent and clear? Got it all figured out? That's the beginning of enlightenment, to realize I don't know what I'm doing. I'm, what, 20, 21? What am I doing with my life? I've tried to enjoy my senses. I've tried doing all the things everyone says is fun and pleasure. Now I'm just burnt to a crisp, exhausted material. What do I have to look forward in life to? Accept more of the same? Oh no. Oh, it's so miserable and painful to act ignorantly. A slave of the senses. Is there some other way to live? Yes. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is giving you the perfect lifestyle. For the swan-like persons, as compared to the crow-like persons, swans are beautiful birds. Crows are very nasty birds in that they eat anything, garbage, refuse, anything. Swans are beautiful and graceful. So we want swan-like persons. But that only comes through purification, training, and proper lifestyle management.
Six Srila Prabhupada, and they were very renowned and very 24 hours a day dedicated. If we don't get to that level, does that mean we fail?
Everyone has to act according to their capacity. Krishna's in your heart as the super soul. There are two persons in the heart. You, the individual soul, and then there's also the supreme soul. The supreme soul, Paramatma, the Lord of the heart, is watching. He's observing and he's permitting you to fulfill your desires. So, Krishna in your heart knows when you're giving your best. Sometimes it's said that it's not so much that Krishna looks at what you're giving him, but he looks at what you're holding back. So everyone has a different capacity. Although the spirit soul is equal. From a material point of view, everyone has different capacities. So Krishna is watching to see if you're giving everything, if you're giving all that you can give. Therefore, bhakti yoga means that we want to do our best for Krishna. Often I tell devotees that you have to try to please Krishna at least as intensely as you try for materialistic goals. At least. Otherwise you're cheating. So many of you are going to university or have gone to university, or you're running a business, working a job, you know the sacrifice that's required. So we have to at least do that much for Krishna, otherwise we're cheating. Why should we give more to Maya, the illusory energy, than we give to Krishna? Well, that is the secret of bhakti. Take your energy and give it for the perfect purpose. If you're a humble person, who is sane, you'll think, for so many persons that I've given all my energies for illusion, now I'm going to do a turnabout. I'll take those same energies, that same drive and commitment, and I'll give it to Krishna. Because actually it belongs to Krishna. Even the illusion belongs to Krishna. And by the way, Gita Krishna says, Mama Maya, the left hand. My illusion. So it's impossible to overcome. How many of you are taking courses at University of Cape Town, which teach you how to overcome illusion? Anyone studying that? Are you studying that? Yes? They teach you that? Huh? No such course is available. So this is the problem with so-called civilization today. It is not equipping people with the skills they need to deal with their life. And that is the deep sadness you feel in your heart. You're not being equipped with the skills to deal with your life. You're being cheated. We'll teach you engineering, we'll teach you medical science, we'll teach you foreign languages, administration, how to deal with illusion. Don't worry about it. How to satisfy the spiritual core of yourself. Don't worry about that. But this is the problem. Only this Krishna consciousness can benefit people at the deepest level of their life. You have to be skillful enough to see the different levels of benefit and go for the deepest, most comprehensive benefit. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to understand what is the greatest value that you can have in your temporary human form of life. That's up to you. Krishna in your heart is helping you. The spiritual master is helping you. The Vaishnavas are helping you. You start asking yourself questions. What is my motivation for doing this? Am I trying to get something out of it? Or do I see that Krishna can get something out of it? Once you start asking yourself those questions, Krishna will give you more and more intelligence, because those are the kind of questions that Krishna wants you to ask yourself. That's the beginning of care and affection. That's the beginning of the relationship with Krishna. Just like in a relationship that you may have with someone, wouldn't you like if that person was always thinking, am I doing this really for her benefit? You'd be quite pleased, wouldn't you? Krishna is not heartless. Krishna is not stone. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the supreme expert at personalism. Therefore, when you have that questioning, that self-questioning, am I doing this apparently for Krishna, but actually just to satisfy me? What is my motivation? Krishna likes that. If you didn't care, you wouldn't think like that. You wouldn't ask yourself those questions. So Krishna in your heart as a super soul notices you thinking that way, and he gives you further and further intelligence how to improve your bhakti, your love and devotion. So don't feel that, we're just left on our own to try to figure out how to give Krishna pleasure. It seems impossible. It is our original constitutional nature to give pleasure to Krishna. It's actually what we're naturally most expert at. It's just that we've forgotten due to the influence of English energy. And therefore, everyone's busy trying to please temporary persons and temporary arrangements in this temporary world.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we run into difficulties in our service. Money overwhelms us, so we have no capacity for the things we're asked to do, or we feel we do something badly and the Vaishnava is not pleased.
We should try to understand how we can improve our service. Seek all means necessary. Maybe we need more knowledge. Maybe we need more expertise in a certain way. We should discuss it with other devotees. Take guidance from our spiritual master. How can I do this service better? I want to offer nice service to Krishna. What can I do to improve? Maybe I need more skills. Maybe I need to listen more. Maybe I need to be more patient. Sometimes things take time to develop. Just like some of our devotees are going to med school. Some of our guests are going to med school. Do they expect to become an expert doctor after 1 year? No. So many years you have to spend. So we should not be so impatient. Service to Krishna is the most precious thing. It may take you years to be able to offer a nice service to Krishna, but it's worth the effort that is required. And if it takes you years to become materially expert in some material activity, what's the point anyway? Just like in India, for musicians, there's a popular statement that to be an expert sitar player takes 7 births. We have any musicians here? 7 births. Now, if you reach that pinnacle and become an expert sitar player, so what? But just put a fraction of that effort into trying to be Krishna conscious, and you'll get the most extraordinary thing. So don't be afraid of difficulties in service. Those difficulties are a chance for you to improve, and they're a chance for you to depend on Krishna more. Anyone can try to please someone when circumstances are nice. But we want to become all-weather devotees. How would you like to have a relationship with someone who only tried to please you when circumstances were nice? And as soon as things got a little tough, they were never to be seen. Oh, what's that kind of relationship? That's why in traditional marriage vows, they say, right, through sickness and health, through poverty and wealth, till death do us part. Right? The idea is, this is a commitment. That's what I understand, all the impediments and difficulties of this world. Now they're changing those vows. I explained this to you. Now, throughout the world, trendy verses. I'm sure it'll start in Cape Town, South Africa first. Trendy verses. They're realizing, why should we tell these lies? So they're giving us a part. So they're telling the priest that they hire for their marriage ceremony, we want something that's for real. So they're writing their own vows. We'll stay together as long as the love is there. or we'll stay together as long as our relationship is good for humanity. One famous movie star in Hollywood, in the particular church that she wanted to marry, and they had a vow in which the wife promises to obey the husband. It's very traditional. So she changed it. And her vow was, I promise to love you, but not obey you. Well, these things are going on. People don't want to promise a lifetime of commitment anymore. I always explain how, at least in Australia, they have what are called prenuptials. That for the few persons who decide to legally marry, most just live together, but those who decide to legally marry, they sign an agreement called a prenuptial, in which, in the unlikely event of a divorce, whatever assets each one brought to the marriage remains that person's. If you don't risk losing your house or your wealth that you brought to the marriage, another person didn't bring anything, and then at the time of the divorce it's split 50-50, this becomes good business, for you marry someone wealthy and then divorce them, you get 50% of their assets. That's why I'm explaining how in Down Under, in Australia, the ladies have a popular mantra. when it's time to divorce the man. And when you leave him, don't get angry. Get everything. So, everyone's recognizing. No need for commitment. No need for trying to stay together no matter what happens. If you feel like going, go. That's the better thing. You have children, doesn't matter. Better to be honest with the children. They're going to be doing the same thing also. They're going to be making decisions like that. So best, just tell them, look, mommy and daddy just can't live together anymore. We feel the best is that we're honest with you children. And this way we'll teach you how to be honest to your desires, whatever they are. In this way, you can see how society is becoming more and more animalistic, without a doubt. People don't even care to hide it anymore. Have you noticed that? They don't care to hide it. The only hope is this Krishna consciousness. We are actually working hard to train people in knowledge, how to organize their life to attain the highest destination, how to directly experience the spiritual reality. We're giving that education, but not everyone's interested. That's to be expected. So this is where you see the heart of the devotee, the heart of the Krishna conscious practitioner. We go on working hard on behalf of everyone, trying to give them the best thing, even though very few people are interested in the best thing. Like some of you are studying medicine. If you're studying medicine. Yeah. So, suppose you were famous, you became famous after you became a doctor for being able to cure so many types of cancer. People would fly all over the world to see you, right? Wouldn't you be that? Yes? They'd be desperate to see you. You'd have a long waiting list. And they'd be very submissive before you. Please, doctor, I've got terminal cancer. Tell me, what can I do? Anything, I'll do it. Drink 8 liters of carrot juice every day for a year. Don't eat anything else. Oh, thank you, doctor. Thank you. Whatever you tell them, they're so desperate. But suppose we say, here is a doctor who can stop the disease of repeated birth and death. What's everyone's reaction? Who cares? What's the big deal? If that's the natural part of life, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I'll let the universe take care of it. The universe will take me wherever it wants to. Oh, this is insanity of the situation. If he says, I can cure so many types of cancer, he'll get such fame. He said, I can cure AIDS. People are flying from everywhere. Begging, begging. He'll be on television interviews. In all the newspapers, the politicians will glorify him. But if he says, I am a doctor who can stop the disease of repeated birth and death. Big deal. This is the craziest. So, I think on one of our first nights here, we made the point. Why should we die, go through that whole experience of dying, only to repeat it? Since you have to die, why not learn how to die only one time? That's it. No more after this. Why?
Go through repeated
deaths.
Repeated births. That is the most foolish thing.
Most people are so afraid of just one death in this lifetime.
And just think, repeating the death process again and again in different bodies, different species. Who wants that?
This is reality. But it's very difficult to remain cognizant, understanding of reality when you have bad associations. You have to deal with your own delusions, and then you have to deal with the delusions of those you associate with. Very difficult to get to the bottom of these points when you have bad association. Now, what is bad association? A satsanga. The association, the sangha, of those dedicated to the temporary. Bad association doesn't simply mean those who drink or take drugs or have wild, uncontrolled senses and do degraded things at parties. So that is not the only definition of temporary association, those dedicated to temporary. It also means those who feel they're very gentlemanly and ladylike, very cultured, but they have no understanding of what is eternal and how to live a non-material lifestyle. All those kind of persons, this is bad association. Anything else?
When we take the association of the devotees, what are the most important considerations? What should you always be cognizant of and never neglect?
We want to associate with serious devotees. A serious devotee means someone who is trying to make progress. You have to be able to see that. Now, we don't expect our newest devotees to be able to see that immediately. Many of you can remember when you first came to the Krishna Consciousness Society. Your first few visits, didn't everyone look completely angelic? Wasn't it like that, Sandra? Everyone looked shining, right? So, when you first come, you can't discriminate. But you're expected to develop knowledge. The knowledge which will allow you to discern different levels of spiritual advancement. You're expected to develop that kind of knowledge. So naturally, after you've been around for a while in Krishna consciousness, you can tell who is serious and who is not so serious. You see, the Krishna Conscious Society is like a big hospital and has all different types of patients. Some follow the doctor's orders, some follow the doctor's orders half the time, and some rarely. Like any hospital. So you're supposed to learn how to see that. But of course, when you first come, it's like, wow, everyone looks shiny.
Mm-hmm. What kind of service should we do? Should we do what we like, or should we do what we're told?
To be a devotee means I'm devoted to Krishna's pleasure. So a real devotee prays to Krishna, what can I do that will best please you? It's a real devotee. In a small center like this, so many things are required. So if devotees always have that attitude to do the needful, they'll make a lot of spiritual advancement.
It's nice to engage devotees in devotional service according to their capacity. But according to their propensity. But it's not always possible. And what is the ultimate propensity that every devotee has? Simply to satisfy Krishna. We have temporary propensities. Some have more managemental propensities, others have more business propensities, others have more intellectual propensities. But those are temporary. Everyone has the propensity simply to satisfy Krishna. So it's nice at a smaller center like this, not as small, but smaller here, that everyone learns how to do everything. Although it's true that some things you're going to be better at than others, but why not become skilled in all the activities necessary to push on the enterprise here, the spiritual enterprise. Especially the younger devotees, those of you in your 20s, you have a wonderful opportunity to learn so many things. How to cook ecstatically. Like the guests who came last night for our program at the yoga lounge, well, they all said, oh, you can learn how to teach yoga, you can learn musical instruments, learn how to distribute books. Learn how to preach, learn how to teach, learn how to nurture people. All these things you should learn. Have a full life in Krishna consciousness. You have a lot of talent here. Simply that talent has to be used for the best purpose. The best purpose is Krishna's pleasure. Yes,
I always ask that, how do you know if you're making spiritual advancement? Like, because having, like, living in a world with, like, so much diversity and everything, it's not, I don't know, maybe you like to call it impatience, but you kind of try something and then if you don't get, like, this epiphany, you start to think that maybe this is just the one for me. Mm-hmm. That's how I found you.
That's a very intelligent question. What are you studying at the university?
In moral psychology.
Huh? Law and psychology. And how many years total would you be studying on?
5 years.
Have you had your epiphany yet?
I'm
have you dropped out?
No.
Why not?
It
epiphany. But hasn't that magic moment come as soon as you enrolled in the courses?
That's the thing.
Very good that you're thinking like that. My point is, for material things of this temporary world, we struggle so intensely for so long. Why can't we do that for Krishna consciousness? But then you might say, I don't know what Krishna consciousness is for sure, right? But is psychology and law for sure?
A lot more people who can tell me that psychology and law is for sure. It's just, you know, where I've grown up.
Law is for sure.
Well, my
parents, you know what you have to do to be a good lawyer?
Yeah,
it all depends on your connections. You know the joke, right? How do you know when a lawyer is lying? Huh? When he or she moves the lips. And psychologists, as an occupation, they have so many personal problems. You know that? For him. Yes. And there's so much exploitation of their clients going on, you know? In terms of violating that Hippocratic oath, where you're not supposed to have intimate relationships with your patients, they all do that. Because so many ladies come to men psychiatrists, psychologists, in a vulnerable situation, the men psychologists take advantage, it's quite common. And as for psychiatrists, I've always explained, in the USA, the occupation that has the highest suicide rate is psychiatrists. In many countries, to be a lawyer simply means, just like in Russia, lawyer means the one who arranges the bribes. You study law for, you know, 4 or 5 years at university, and then how do you execute law? You're simply like a broker. Okay, judge, this guy says, you know, he can pay 10,000 rubles if you kind of give him a light sentence. How does that sound to you, judge? Oh, you want 12,000? You want 12? I asked one lawyer in Russia, I said, does it ever happen that there can be justice without paying? It's possible. Well, it doesn't have to do well, it is possible. So, how can you say that you're so sure about psychology and law, but Krishna has to say, oh no. It's just that so many people are telling you, my people, be an illusion with us. Party hard, study, when you're not intoxicated, study, graduate from the university, your life will be wonderful. What do you think? Right. So now you have to move from the stage of material exhaustion to spiritual exhilaration and rejuvenation. Just like Sandra, how long have you known Sandra for?
About a year.
So you knew her before she started her in-depth spiritual practices?
Maybe.
You see the difference?
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yes. Less intelligent. There you have it, the laboratory specimen. So if she can do it, you can do it. What is it that you're addicted to? Are you so addicted to parties and listening to the lies of all the men? You're all lying, you know that, don't you? What do you mean? You've been committed for years. Just look at what you've been committed to. My dear, this is not, I don't accept that. I'm afraid of commitment. This is nonsense. You have been committed to the path of ascension, Joya. Right? Party hard and try to catch the guy's attention and playing around now. That takes commitment. Yes, it does. I am committed to my senses. What's going to happen this weekend for my senses? That's commitment. Right?
I realize it now, actually. I was thinking commitment is something nasty. Like when people talk about commitment, as you were saying, you always talk about being like commitment being harder when it's tougher. So when it's something that you enjoy, you don't actually think that it's commitment. Think about it.
Yeah. Have you ever had a long standing relationship?
Yeah.
For how long?
3 years.
3 years.
Long.
Right, long these days. Wow! 3 years. Okay. So didn't you have to tolerate sometimes? Or just as soon as the person did something you didn't like, you just, hey, forget it.
I mean, that's when the word commitment came about. Like, if something bad happened, I'd be like, but I'm in the commitment now. Mm. And the good times are happening, it wasn't such a commitment, it was just happening. Mm.
Yeah. So in Krishna consciousness, the first thing you learn is that you're committed to learning how to control your mind and senses. Because without that kind of commitment, you can never get all the extraordinary spiritual wealth that is in store for you. Just a finished university takes commitment. Are you just jumping up and down with joy every day you go to class? Oh, psychology! Wow! But still you go, right? Is that commitment?
Yeah.
What about when you go buy clothes and fashions? Isn't that commitment? It is! I'm committed to spending money to wear the latest fashions. Right, well, that's what we're here for, education. And the man wanted to see that you're committed to the process of sense gratification. And then you get glorified at the university, right? Hey, I'm on defense, he's fun. This is how the men do it, you know? They create their own markets, you know? And they award you all this false prestige. It's all over there, exploiting activities. And the ladies are silly enough to go along with it. The men congratulate you. Hey, Mandy, you had a lot of fun. And you know what they say behind your back? Huh? No, that's not what they say. That's not what the men say behind your back. To your faces, you're a lot of fun. You're the life of a party. Behind your back. I won't say it. All the men know. So, you have to decide when you're tired of all this. And then move on to the spiritual platform. It's not enough just to be tired. How old are you now?
19.
Just you're 19. You've already done everything you could really do the rest of your life, right? You've already done it all. There's nothing worth looking forward to. You had all the vices, you know, it's all been raining from the sky. That's all there is to material life. You work hard just to get all that. That's the thing about university life. You're not working, you're going to school, and you're getting all the vices. And then when you graduate from university, you gotta get a job to get those same vices. So student life is kind of like a real artificial existence, artificial holiday. So now you're 19? There's no mysteries left anymore. You've socialized. You've tried to please others. Now, you've got all the things that society says, this is fun. This makes you a successful, happy person. You've done it all, right? What's your conclusion?
Successful,
happy person, I thought. Right. Well, this is a very rare point you come to. That means, with this realization, you are a suitable candidate for Krishna consciousness. After many births and deaths, someone comes to this realization. Now, what are you going to do? That is the question. Are you strong enough to go another way? Would you like to know how to be successful going another way? You start to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and that will give you the spiritual strength to carry Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. You read Bhagavad Gita?
I'm just saying that from her. She's in the course that she likes.
Every page is unlimitedly beneficial. You're reading psychology books, you're reading law books, why not read Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end? Educate yourself in the science of the soul and the supreme soul. And start to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, mantra meditation. Taste the difference. It's not theoretical. And then gradually you'll get the spiritual strength to live a pure life. Of course, all the guys at the university don't know it. Oh, what's happened there? Oh, no. She was an easy one. That's what they say behind the back. That's all. You start to chant Hare Krishna. Is it so difficult? Three words, Hare Krishna Rama.
It's difficult, I think, in the Kriya Puja. We'll go back to that word again.
You're already being committed to the process of illusion. Right? Just change the commitment. You're already committed. It's not that it's something you're acquiring. You're already committed, so you're transferring the commitment from illusion to Krishna consciousness, reality. You understand? So look at it in that way. You're transferring your commitment. You'll get the strength to do that by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Don't you want to enroll in this course? Huh?
It's very different when I come here because, as you said, everybody's shining and glowing. When I go back out there and I've not grown up in my family, you're kind of fighting an entire culture and heritage by saying, I believe in this now and I'm rejecting everything you've ever told me.
But how often do you go back to Botswana?
Oh, not so much anymore,
but it's over there. Listen, now you don't go back so much, so
that problem right there. It's not just family, it's just everybody around you.
Friends? Your so-called friends at school?
It's not just friends. I've got a lot of like aunts and uncles who come to the school, and cousins and stuff, who aren't my so-called friends. They're just generally my family. And they're here. I see them all the time.
So, you don't have to broadcast to them what you're doing in Krishna consciousness, do you? Or you want to?
Well, I'm being honest. It's not broadcasting, it's just, I don't actually feel like I'm keeping a secret.
Okay, so then tell them, I'm sick of the way I was living. Can you say that?
You don't say it like what?
Why? Because I have some intelligence and I have some structures. What's the problem?
Well, the problem is, I don't know if she can probably tell you, but the culture that we come from is very unaccepting of other things. Like
most cultures of the world.
Yeah.
They're not open to accepting commitment to the highest spiritual integrity. It's not just your culture, it's everyone's culture. Even those who are from India, the so-called Hindu cultures. Oh, you don't give too much to Krishna, right? Yes. When you pass by the temple, you keep talking. Maybe 10 seconds a day you offer some prayer. That's it. So this is the pure spiritual, not material culture. So anyone who has material attachments has some problem with it. So it's not just your culture. It's not just Botswana. It's the USA, it's Russia, it's India, it's everywhere. The illusory energy. Don't escape. Stay and suffer. So, your question is very good. What you're saying is, how do you get the strength to push on this kind of lifestyle? You get it through association. Just like when Sandra started. She was writing me regularly. I tried to give her support. She had Radha Sangha's association in. She had so many persons pulling for her, giving her support. So you can have the same thing. Okay.
Well,
it's intelligent. So now you start to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, read Bhagavad Gita. Come here, take spiritual food, take prasad. Is it so difficult? You like the food, don't you? Yeah. When you're at the uni, university, can you say uni here? Also?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really say uni. So, when you're at the university, you go to the our prasad distribution booth we have there. Maybe. You go there?
Yeah.
This is the first sign of your spiritual integrity. You're becoming addicted to prasad. Very good. So, you want to help? Just ask for it. We'll extend a hand. You can march forward. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
When you're practicing your devotional service, and when do you actually know when to draw the line if you're struggling with other devotees or they're kind of mistreating you or kind of exploiting you? When do you make that endeavor attempt to speak to them and say, listen, probably I can't do this anymore, or they're really agitating my mind?
I give you an example.
I could give an example.
Yeah, can you?
Okay. Maybe when you're doing japa in the morning and there are a lot of conversations going on, and that's
very good point. I would get disturbed too. Very good point. Yes. Japa time is not for conversations. They are trying to concentrate on the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra and someone's talking next to you. That's not good. So then you have to do something. I agree. What else? That's a good one. I wish every devotee has this concern. Don't feel bad about that concern. It is every devotee's genuine right to have a peaceful japa period. Devotees have rights also. So it's in the Declaration of Rights. Sometimes there are emergencies, sometimes there are unpredicted things. But generally, as a rule, every devotee should have a peaceful japa period. Okay? So don't feel bad about that. Anything else? It's good you're taking these things very seriously. Okay. These are very nice questions tonight. Do you have any? No. You're thinking something. What do you think? Is this Krishna consciousness possible? You're studying medicine. How many year commitment is that to study medicine? 7 years. Wow. And then after that, you have to do what you call internship before. How many years of intern? So 9 years altogether. 9 years before you can get a full practicing doctor. So you're very committed. You're very dedicated. Now just approach Krishna consciousness in that way, and you'll have an extraordinary life. Does it look possible? Yeah. You can continue on with your education, of course. Not a problem. Like Sandra, she's continuing with her education. We don't say drop your school, drop your occupation. We don't say that. Simply learn how to be the best doctor who can heal the body and cure the soul. Be a full service doctor. That's what I wanted to do. You see the madness all around you, don't you? Do something about it. Don't be selfish. I'm just going to, after 9 years, I'll be a doctor, I'll make money, I'll help people with physical illnesses, and that's it. It's all temporary help. There's no doubt if I was sick, I'd want to find a good doctor for the body. At the same time, I know that health for the body is temporary and superficial. Just like today, I went to a masseuse. He's the father of Krishnamurti. So, he was a very nice man. He took care of me. At the same time, I know this is not solving my ultimate problem. It's keeping my vehicle in good running order. You understand? All right. We're going to speak about Dhamadasa. This will be advanced for the sake of our guests. But the sound of migration will purify you. We're speaking about the Lord Dhamadhar, who, although bound by the rope Mother Yashoda put around his belly, was able to release from bondage the sons of Kubera, Mandigriva and Nalakubra. Kubra Najao Bhadra Bhutjaya Vyaktvat. Kayamuchitao Bhakti Bhajao Kajavasha. So, first, you're making this contrast. Dhamadhar is bound, yet he's unbinding these two boys from all of material existence. He's not just giving them freedom from their tree form of life, but he's giving them freedom from samsara,
But then again, he's not just giving them freedom from samsara. He's giving them prema bhakti, ecstatic love of God. Tata prema bhaktam sakame kriyashta. So this is what you have to think of. Freedom from the tree bodies. Taking birth as a tree is a very abominable thing. But then, Lord Damodar also gave them freedom from material existence. But that's very insignificant compared to the boon, the benediction of bhakti, that Lord gave them prema bhakti. So, once again, this prayer is affirmed. Namokshe graho me sti damodareha. I don't want even liberation from material existence. That's nothing compared to bhakti, the gift of ecstatic devotional service to the Lord. Otherwise, someone with a faulty understanding will say, oh, if prema bhakti gives me liberation from material existence, let me do it. That is not the highest understanding of bhakti yoga. Because then you'll think, oh, well, if I don't get liberation from material existence, I'm not going to strive for prema bhakti. Prema bhakti, ecstatic love of God, is far beyond even moksha, liberation from material existence. Therefore, the devotee who has prema bhakti, ecstatic love of Krishna, doesn't really care whether I'm in the material world or out of the material world. As long as I have devotional service to the Lord, I have the best of everything. Therefore, the famous verse is there in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Narayana Padasarve, the root test Chanavivati. Sarva Pavagana Vakesha Vituryata Darshana. One who is Narayana Pura, exclusively devoted to the Supreme Lord. For that person, it doesn't matter whether he's in heaven or hell. He sees it all as equal. Just external circumstances. What is the essence? The essence is devotional service to Krishna. So this is what Lord Damodar bestowed upon two sons of Kuvera. Why did they get that mercy? Because they were cursed by Narada Muni, who is a dear devotee of the Lord, who simultaneously cursed them and blessed them. You'll take birth as trees, but you'll see Lord Krishna face to face in Vrindavan, and he will release you. So, as little Krishna, with the rope around his waist tied to the grinding mortar, as he walked towards the trees, the Yamalarjuna, he's thinking, let me fulfill the words of my devotee Damodar. And to a much lesser extent, he's thinking, Kuvera is a demigod. Demigods are also devotees, although they're attached to material control and power. So they're his sons. To a much lesser extent, for that reason, I'll also set them free. In this way, by offering this prayer, Kubratma Jao Bhada Murjai Vajatva, Taya Murjita Bhakti Bhajao Krishavata, the devotee is saying, Krishna, you also please rescue me. And then finally, Namaste Sudam Sudam Deepam. You offer your obeisances to the rope that binds Krishna's belt. Anything directly in relation to Krishna is a stimulation for ecstatic love. So here you are in this last prayer of Damodarastika, offering obeisances to a rope. A glorified rope. But is it any rope? No. It is the rope that binds Lord Damodar. The rope put there by Mother Yashoda.
try the other eye up to Vishvaksha down there. Then you move from glorifying the rope to glorifying the belly of the Lord. That belly, as Krishna's expansion, gives rise to a lotus flower from which Lord Brahma appears. So this way you can say all the universes are contained in that belly of Bala Gopal. Mother Yashoda saw this. The accusation arose amongst Krishna's playmates that he was eating dirt. And Krishna said, no, they're lying. They're just angry with me that I won't play with them anymore. Balaram's conspiring with them. They've made these false accusations. So Mother Yashoda said, very well. Then let's look at your mouth. Let's see what we see. And when she looked into Krishna's mouth, she saw the entire cosmic manifestation. So therefore, in that last prayer you're saying, Kaini Yodarayata Vishwasya Bhavana. After speaking about the rope, you speak about the valley. All the universes are contained within that valley. And then you become very confidential in that last prayer. Namo Radhikayai Tvadiya Priyayai. You're offering your obeisances to Krishna's confidential devotee. Namo Nanta Lilaya Devaya Tubya. You're offering your obeisances to Ananta Lila, the Lord's unlimited pastimes, which Sanatana Goswami says confidentially refers to the Lord's intimate Lila, his rasana. But because it's confidential, the prayer just hints at it. Namo Nanta Lilaya Devaya Tubya. Because you don't discuss Krishna's confidential pastimes amongst unqualified persons. Otherwise, the Lord's defense technique is ordinary. So, there is the tradition in Vaishnava prayers and songs to end everything sweetly, just like in most parts of India, yes. After your meal, you take a sweet. Where is it that it's the opposite? Do you have any Gujaratis? You still take the sweets first? The tradition for pleasing Krishna with Vaishnava prayers is that you end with something sweet. So therefore, the prayer ends namo nanta lilaya devaya tubya, with a hidden reference to Krishna's most intimate pastimes. So in this way, you get the whole spiritual world in this Devadasic prayer. The Brahman effulgence is there. Where is that Brahman effulgence? It's contained within the rope that binds Krishna's belly. That's why the rope is so effulgent. Everything is there. Mother Yashoda, Namo Maharaj, Shivati Radharani. Krishna's confidential pastimes, everything is there. And then how did it all begin? Remember what the first verse says? Namamishram Satchidananda. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Ishwar. Without understanding Krishna as Supreme Ishwar, you'll never understand anything else in that prayer. And what is the nature of Krishna's body? Satchidananda. Namamishram Satchananda Rupa. Lasatunala Gokure Rajavana. His body is composed of compressed clouds of eternity, knowledge, and wisdom. And on his ears, the star-shaped earrings are swinging to and fro. They're kissing his cheeks when they move. How did those earrings get such fortune? So everything is there in this prayer. And the main point is to understand how the Lord is agreeing to voluntarily come under the control of his devotee.
Does your father voluntarily sometimes come under your control? Can you give an example? Did he ever play that he was like a horse and he climbed on his back? And yes, you did that? Yes. You are a grown man. On all fours, crawling on the floor, your son's on your back. And is he urging you on? Like you're a horse? Come on, daddy, come on. And you're enjoying, yes? He voluntarily came under his control. So, the Supreme Lord does that also. Let me voluntarily come under Mother Yasoda's control. Her devotion is so intense, she wants to care for me, although I don't need anyone to care for me. I'll submit to her voluntarily. For those of you who are new, relatively speaking, to Krishna's pastimes, I'm urging you to read the Krishna book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have activities. Well, how can you say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no activities? Your activities fail every time you enjoy, and Krishna is unlimitedly, eternally successful at enjoyment. That is the definition of God. So now we chant the Devanastic prayers, and we have the song.